The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, located at 111 North 2nd Street, Clearfield, PA. To hear the complete message, additional messages, or to follow us on Facebook, please go to www.fbcclearfield.com. That is www.fbcclearfield.com. We invite you to worship the Lord with us each Sunday at 10:45.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to have Bruce and Tammy Comer with us this morning, missionaries that we already support, so it's great to hear an update from them. It's interesting, before we met Bruce and Tammy, we actually met their two sons. Well, Kate went to school with two of their sons, so it's just neat that once we got here, I was like, oh, you know, found out we support their parents. So just interesting how it works like that. But me, Kate, and Silas were able to go down for a couple of days at this past summer to their camp and to witness all firsthand what goes on there, and just neat what goes on there. And something that really stuck out to me, which I really liked, was how every day they had this, the kids do a service project. Is that what you call it? Service project. So just cleaning after the meal, whatever, different things. And so it's just really neat how they, you know, teach them the ministry is serving too, serving others. And so just really neat to see their ministry and see Pastor Bob down there and his teaching and just great ministry there. So it's great to have Bruce and Tammy, and I'll have Bruce come this time.
Good morning. Let me see if I can get this. Testing. We're hot. We're live. I see you. What are you doing back there?
Someone may have put it on Facebook.
Oh, okay. Very good. Friends of ours showed up. We haven't seen in a long time. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. We are missionaries with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And we are, or have been, serving in Northwest Pennsylvania since 1997. 21 years of ministry. And we celebrated 30 years of marriage this past May. We were married in 1988, right down here, right down the road here at the Mineta Methodist Church. Tammy's a Clearfield native, graduated from Clearfield. She is a bison through and through, okay? What should I do? Am I good? A little feedback. Talk softly. Okay. All right. So, anyway, we appreciate your support, financially and prayerfully. We appreciate what you have done for us through camp ministry, as well as through just doing the things. I remember when Pastor Bob Johnson was here. And when we did VBS up in Kane, Mount Jewett, Hazelhurst area, he would come up, and he before then he would, back then, you know, everything was on VHS, right? And I still have some of those tapes, and it was the Jesus video, and so we passed those out. I remember he and I just went out door to door. And out in the rural areas of Northwest Pennsylvania, just passing out those things. And what an encouragement that was to see that. And plus, we got to know Bob through camp ministry, Bob Johnson, that is, through camp ministry, as he was already helping Don and Carol Strand, who are predecessors. They were up there in the Kane area for 35-plus years of ministering and doing camp ministry. And so we... took it over from them. And so that's how we got involved with camp ministry and doing all that. In 1997, we were commissioned as missionaries to go out and serve with, at that time, what was called American Missionary Fellowship. And our church, our sending church, was Christian Fellowship Church, and still is, in New Holland, Pennsylvania. And so we were commissioned out as missionaries to go to Northwest Pennsylvania to do missionary work right here in the United States of America. And so we were missionaries with American Missionary Fellowship at that time. We ended up changing missions in 2010 to Help Ministries, because Help Ministries was more of a came alongside type ministries and really helped with producing leaders and making leaders, developing leaders in the church and whatever ministries that we find ourselves in. And it was really a compliment to what we were doing. Recently, as far as a couple years ago, the director of that mission ended up getting ill and having cancer and all that. And so at that time, we felt at that point of our ministry, we needed to make a change to biblical ministries worldwide. Back in January of this year, we were officially became members or missionaries with biblical ministries worldwide, and that we are serving with them currently. Biblical ministries worldwide has over 500 missionaries in 40 different countries. And so it's not just home-based missions, but it's worldwide. There's a team that's getting together to go to Seven Rivers in South Africa. I know they've been asking us to go, but at this time it's not for us to go. We know that. And it's one of those areas where God has placed us here, and we have a ministry here in which we enjoy doing and keep on pressing on. Like I said, Tammy, a native of Clearfield. I'm native of Northeast Ohio. We got to meet each other in Lancaster County. We met in a church setting called College and Career Class, and that's how we met. I was a student at LBC, Lancaster Bible College, at that time, and she was in her career. And we met up at a College and Career Class at a local church, and that's how we met and developed a relationship. The Lord's blessed us with four beautiful children who are now young adults. When we moved up in 1997, they were five and under. Now they are young adults in their 20s and having jobs, and we are feeling great about that, believe me. It's one of those things where we are just excited for them. Our daughter, Olivia, is in her senior year at Geneva College, but she's taking this semester studies abroad over to Ireland, and she is doing a studies abroad that way, and international finance. And she's an accounting major, taking after her mom. And so she is doing well over in Ireland. We're excited to see her when she arrives on December 23rd back here in the States. So we'll have a good time with that. I want to share with you a scripture. And it's out of the book of Acts. Out of the book of Acts. Chapter 8. As we share our ministry together, as we share our ministry with you regarding what we do, we actually live or minister in two different areas. We have like two separate ministry lives, if you want to call it that. Okay? One's church, and the other one's camp. And in between is are a lot of other ministries that go on, okay? So I want to share that with you, because all of us here today have different platforms that we minister off of. Now, in the 1950s, there was a baseball manager called Alvin Dark. Okay, Alvin Dark. And Alvin Dark was the manager of the Cleveland Indians, but also went on to the Chicago White Sox and ministered to other teams. His testimony was that his platform that he used was baseball. But he shared his love for Christ using that platform of baseball in order to influence or impact lives for Jesus. You have a platform that you can use wherever you are at. And God has given you that for you to reach out to your community, your neighbors, your loved ones for Christ. I want to share the scripture with you, and it's out of Acts chapter 8, looking at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, and this is desert." So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit of God, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of another man?" And Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. As I explained earlier, we have two ministry lives. One is consisted of a church ministry up in Kane called First Baptist Church in Kane. Now, mind you, when we moved up here in 97, our lives have been like that, two ministry lives, helping churches and doing camp ministry, okay? And that hasn't changed in 21 years. We have our own little team, and that team has left us. And it grew up, right? And so now it's just Tammy and myself and the Lord doing all the things that we continue to do. But along with that comes the other avenues of ministry that we come in contact with. Now, the church ministry itself up in Kane is a small congregation of about 25 to 30, roughly. They can't self-support their own pastor. And that hasn't changed over the 21 years of our ministry. Okay, when we moved up in this area, up in northwest Pennsylvania, we realized that there are churches that needed some help pastoring. Okay, I mean, I remember when we went to Westline Community Church, it was just a one-room schoolhouse with an outhouse out back. Okay, and that was 1997-98. It graduated itself from an outhouse to a porta potty. Okay, so that's the way it is. There's no indoor plumbing at Westline Community Church. All right. And so we had VBSs there. We had church ministry going on there, right? And that's just in Pennsylvania, okay? And there's other ministries that we were involved with. We were down in Dubois area near Treasure Lake called Narrows Creek Church and Sunday School. We were ministering there for a long time, and they still support us financially. Praise God for that. And then we also ministered to some folks in St. Mary's area. That needed some help. So we did that as well. There was a little church about 3 miles down the hill from where our house sits in Mount Jewett. And the community church down there was looking for a pastor, about 25 in a congregation. So we started there. We preached there. And when First Baptist was losing their pastor, and they approached us and said, can you come and preach for us? So at that time, I was preaching at Cushiqua, and they asked me, can you come preach with us? Well, I said, well, I'm 9:30 service here, and you have a lot of 11 o'clock service. I said, now, in between is like 15, 20 minutes of driving. I said, if you can handle me driving in and coming in late, okay, I have no problem doing it. And, of course, all the agreements had to be made, because it wasn't just because they wanted me to come in and preach. I mean, they wanted me to do some other things. And so doctrinally, we had to come to an agreement, you know, because this little church leans a little bit liberal, okay? And I said, you know, we have to make changes. This is how I preach. You don't tell me how to preach. Anyone that comes through that door tells me how to preach. I'm not preaching, okay? It's plain and simple. And so when it came down to that point of clear understanding, you know, they accepted us, and they wanted us to come in and preach. And so did that for a few years during two churches in the Sunday morning. Okay? And all that to say, we used the platform of God, what God has given us. Now, I have to admit, when we moved up in Mount Juliet, Pennsylvania, and some of you know this already, my goal in life was to be a professional bowler. You can smirk. Okay? Go ahead. All right? See, now, when we were growing up as a family, I'm one of nine in my family. I'm the youngest son of my family. And so when it came down to where church was involved, funerals and weddings, that's it. Okay? And so when we hardly went to church, but, you know, mom and dad, they always, Sunday mornings were about visiting family. Sundays were all about visiting family. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever. And so when it came down to where my goals, you know, wanted to be a professional bowler, my dad worked at a bowling alley, was a manager, and I got to work there, and got all the bowling I wanted to do. It was all, you know, free bowling. And so I had my vision. I had my goal, right? My three older brothers came to know the Lord in their late teens. And so they were starting to witnessing regarding their lives and how they came to know Christ. And they came to me, and they talked to me, and I said, I don't want any of it. They didn't want any of it. When I was 20, back then I was about 14, 15 years old. When I was 20... God got a hold of me. And all those years of them witnessing and all that, and the Holy Spirit of God came, reminded me and of all those verses. John 3:16, Romans 3:23, right? Romans 5:8, 6:23, all the Romans road, basically. You know, I knelt down at the side of my bed, asked the Lord to come and save me. It was a very traumatic time in my life when I needed the Lord. I needed a change. All right, there was no Billy Graham crusade or anything that was going on. It was just me and the Lord that were talking. Mainly, it was He that was talking to me. And so what happened was that I came to know the Lord. I received the Lord as my personal Savior. When we moved to Northwest Pennsylvania, my bowling balls went with me. Okay? I use that as a platform to the community. God helped me use that as a platform. Now, for others, you might have archery. You might have another form of sporting event in your life. You might have crocheting as a woman, right? You might have knitting. Or you might have some other platform that you might use in order to gain a foothold, in a sense, a door, to prop open a door in a ministry life that would impact someone's life. And that's what He did with bowling with me. I got to know a lot of people, a lot of guys, through bowling. One particular instance, when he an individual came to our door knocking at the door, and he came to me. He says, I've been watching you. And he says, okay. And he says, my wife and I need help. We need some counseling. I don't trust any of these clergy that are around here. He says, I want to come and sit. We want to come down and sit with you. I said, whoa. You know, you see how God uses a platform in order to gain an insight or someone's person's life to help them along. Philip, he was used by the Spirit of God. Right? Here's Philip. He's busy ministering in this location over here. Angel Lord appeared to Philip and he says, hey, I want you to go down to Gaza. Down on the desert road. He says, okay, I'm going to Gaza. Right? And so he moves and he notice how the working Holy Spirit, the Spirit's working in Philip's life. Why? Because he is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He is sensitive in such a way his heart is prepared for ministry. Right? And so when we look at ministry, it's how your heart is prepared for ministry. That's how my heart is prepared for ministry. And see, was I prepared for what was going to happen using the platform of a bowling alley? You know? And in some ways, I just wanted to get to know some of the guys. But eventually, it came to be so much more than that. Okay? Because some of the men were coming to me and asking me about this situation. And I always come back, well, did you talk to your wife about this? Okay? Because that's what you need to do. Okay? Because you need to understand communication's key within a marriage. And some guys accepted that, and other guys rejected it, and went on from there. But the other platform that God gave me in ministering up in this area, in Northwest Pennsylvania, is the whole platform of being a chaplain for the Pennsylvania State Police. And that's an area where it can be a lot of ups and downs emotionally, okay? Whether it be a loved one, one of the troopers lost an uncle, right? A couple years back, he was just traveling home from work. I get a call saying you need to come. And so I had to, be with the being there with the family, asking God, give me the words to pray, give me the words to be an encouragement, give me words to comfort and all that, because that's part of the ministry that's going on. I'm not sure what ministry God has planted you in, okay? You realize that your lifestyle is a ministry? It can be impacting a lot of lives for Christ. And in this case, Philip was used of God to reach an Ethiopian eunuch. You know? You never know what God's going to do in this situation and how God's going to be using you in this situation. So it's a working Holy Spirit, and I'm asking you, are you sensitive to the Spirit's call in your life? When we were sensitive to the Spirit's call in our lives regarding ministry, we know that we needed to be close to family because we had a lot of unsafe family in our area, okay? Mainly on my side, okay? But there's a lot of unsaved members that you know of in your own families that you need to minister to, you need to be praying for, consistently praying for. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on them. Because anything can happen. Amen? Amen. It can happen today. It can happen today. So the ministry that we have in First Baptist, all right, we have feed the team with the football team, all right? Before every game they go out, whether home or away, we feed them, okay, with their coaches and with the cheerleaders and the trainers and their coaches and all the rest of them. We have about 70 coming in. Get a meal before they go out and play, right? Praise God for FCA, amen? Amen, because that's an avenue in which you can reach young people for Christ in that way. And so we use that as an avenue, as a platform. Tammy uses her women's ministry, the Women of Worth Bible Studies, to gather together. That started in our home as a small group, and it just kind of blossomed. And as we began our ministry at First Baptist Church 5 years ago, we just moved the Bible studies there, And she's averaging between 14, 18, maybe 20 ladies on a Bible study. You know, that's wonderful. You know, that's impactful. And it's not just the Baptist women. In fact, there's very few of the ladies that come out from the Baptist church for that. Her majority of her people are Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, you know, all that. Or non-church related women. Okay, that come to her Bible studies. You know, and that's something that just was developed. You know, some gals just want to get together and have a time of fellowship and a Bible study. And that was wonderful. So we use that as a ministry tool, as a platform in order to get that going on there. And as we look at the high school, it's not right next to, you know, sits right across the street from the church. The school board decided to use the church as an evacuation place, and just in case where something would happen at the high school, all the students and the staff and the teachers would come down and be an evacuation area for the school, right? If something would happen, you know, what a tremendous outreach that is. You know, you get all this happening in your community, and you see what God's doing in your life. And see, now you have your naysayers. I have to admit, I have my own radio listeners, because when we broadcast, it's live on Sunday mornings from 11 to noon. It's live, okay? And so I get letters from my fan club. I call them my fan club. All the negativity, and I can give you 4 pages of what I said was wrong in my sermon, okay? And he'll be going down market. So they're listening. But it's also kind of fascinating. Where is your theology at? I mean, it's just like, that's all over the place, you know? So it's really kind of incredible. And so, you know, you have this going on. We're live on the radio. It's streaming live on the internet, even now. And so all the mistakes, all the blunders, me going off tangent, okay? It's all on live radio or live streaming from the radio station. And it's pretty fascinating. You get people listening from Arizona, California. Olivia listened from Ireland, you know, all that happening. That's pretty incredible stuff. So we appreciate it. So that's one ministry life. Okay, you getting all that? All right. Second ministry life is camp. God uses camp as a platform for us as well to reach young people. Not only young people, but parents, adults, who are searching for a purpose of ministry. You know, and I believe that God uses that for His honor, for His glory. Little Mahoney Bible Camp, I've been a part of Little Mahoney Bible Conference Camp since 1998. Okay, I've been a part of that board for a lot of years. And I've seen a lot of ups and downs. And seen a lot of kids go through there, come to know Christ as Savior. Seen a lot of adults come and transition from their busy lifestyles to a ministry. Some went to Lancaster Bible College, others went to Geneva College, others go to other points unknown. We've had as many kids, give you an indication of how many kids, teenagers one year, we had like 95, 96 teenagers one year, right? And so we had one come from Alaska, because they had a family living in Pennsylvania. And they were down to visit. Let's go to camp, right? And so they came down to camp. And so it was a great time of ministry. But again, looking at what they know and what they don't know comes right here out of Scripture. Because a lot of the kids that come to camp, a good percentage of them come from dysfunctional families. They don't know about the Bible. They don't know who Jesus is. And so when it comes down to the point of where it says in verse 34, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Notice how the Ethiopian eunuch was searching. He was waiting for someone to tell him. You have a working Holy Spirit and a waiting sinner. Someone to tell him the message of the gospel. That, my friends, is what missions is all about. Like I said, when we talk about biblical ministries worldwide, there's over 500 missionaries. There's a group of us here in the United States. You know Dave and Karen Tinsley, whom you support in New York City. We know Dave and Karen for a lot of years. We introduced Pastor Bob Johnson to Dave and Karen. And they came down here to share their ministry with you. And you've been faithfully supporting them for a lot of years. And we appreciate that. And they appreciate that. And so when it comes to where there's a group of missionaries from biblical ministries worldwide here in the United States, some are in Utah, ministering to Mormons. And so they're ministering to them, and they have a Bible church happening in the midst of Mormon country. You know? And you know, praise God for that. They're reaching out to a community. Why? Because they see the need. There's people that are waiting to hear the gospel. And when we have young people come to camp and say, we don't want to go home. It's safe here. It breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. Because you see so much of the turmoil within a week. They develop friendships. They see their friends, and now they have to go away. You know how they develop friends? We take away their cell phones. Okay? For the week. And that's all in the brochure. Okay? Either you leave your electronics at home, or we take them from you when you check in. Get them back at the end of the week, but you won't have them for the week. Right? And so our theme is based on fellowship. That's why we call it Fellowship Bible Camp, because we want them to learn how to fellowship, communicate, talk face-to-face with people. And you know all this texting going on? Yeah, I'm listening. What would you say? Well, yeah, that's not happening, right? You know how frustrating it is when you text your child, hey, how are you doing today? Not a word. Right? You know, it goes by a couple weeks, month goes by, they may call. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine. You're scaring us half to death. Why don't you message us, right? Oh, yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm doing good. But here, as you look at all these things regarding, you know, a person who is waiting to hear the gospel. This Ethiopian eunuch was a part of an administration that he had influence of. He was high in the administration of Ethiopia. And he had an influence on the queen, but also his servants that he had with them. Right? Because he was there. Notice they went to Jerusalem to what? To worship. But he didn't know how to worship or who he was worshiping to. You know, how did he get to know about Jerusalem? How did he get to know about this worship style? You know, maybe he heard about Jesus, but clearly, according to the text, he didn't understand it. You know, and so when it came to where Philip was be used by the Holy Spirit of God, and he entered into this man's life, an Ethiopian eunuch, and he introduced the scripture, and Philip started preaching Jesus. Now, whenever you hear that word preaching, a lot of people, he got up on his pulpit and he started pounding the pulpit and said, you got to know Christ, right? Nah. Which is true. You got to know Christ. But he did it on a one-to-one relationship. He sat down with him and explained the gospel. You see, that's what camp does. When a cabin leader sits down with their campers and talks to them through devotion time about who Jesus is and explains to them about the gospel, it becomes more clear to them, prayerfully, hopefully, that they understand who Jesus is. See, maybe there's someone here that maybe has never heard the gospel, or someone who's listening on the radio, right? Because I understand this is taped and all the editing that goes on, right? Right? It's going to get broadcast next week. And maybe there's someone that's listening that doesn't understand the gospel. does not know. Jesus Christ came to earth to die for your sin. Why? Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one measures up to God. What separates us from a holy God is sin. And that sin has impacted every human life on the face of the earth. Mine and yours included. And so when it comes down to where sin needed to be taken care of, Jesus Christ demonstrated that when he came to earth to die on a cross for our sin. Because why? He loved us. His grace. Right? And that grace is sufficient to save you today. Amen? And those who are listening to the message today, those of you who know Jesus Christ, your assurance of salvation is secure in Jesus because of the Holy Spirit. And that happens at the moment that you are saved, that you come to know Christ as Savior. And when you come to know Christ as Savior, you have eternal fellowship with God. What a blessing. And to see kids come to know Christ from a Catholic background, where they understand that it's more than just worshiping a statue. It's more worshiping Jesus who saved them. It gives you chills when you hear testimony of that. So you have a working Holy Spirit and a waiting sinner, and Camp has done that for us. Right? Camp has done that. And Camp runs, can run year-round, has a facility of heat and in the winter times, and air conditioning in the summer. Every building has heat and air conditioning, just to let you know that, okay? And we have a big activity center that attracts groups to come in and helps them in order to get kids in so that they can minister to their need, whether it be on a weekend retreat or the summer for a week-long camp, or maybe there's a ladies' retreat or a men's retreat that wants to come and administer in that way to be an encouragement one to another. There's facilities there for that, big kitchen, dining room area. You know, just a fascinating place to where you can come and enjoy a weekend, get some time away. And Tammy and I will be moving down there tonight. One of the things that the board of the camp, we really had to pray about is understanding that we couldn't pay anybody to live there to take care of the place. And so being a faith-supported missionary, as Tammy and I are, we are, and plus I spend most of my time down there anyways, from Kane to Smicksburg, where the camp's at, 86-mile trip. So one way. And so I spend most of my time there working at the place, all that. And it's a beautiful area down in Indiana County. It's just 20 minutes from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. And so we're going to be doing that. We're going to be there a lot during the summer. A lot, you know, we're going to spend a lot of time there. But God has given us so many different, you know, talking about FCA, using that platform. We had our first football camp at camp this past summer. Now, you're saying, did you have coaches come in? Did you? School district nearby came to me. What would it take to have a football camp? I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, bring our kids, our coaches, bring them here. We spend a week, have football camp here. I said, it sounds like a good idea. Just let me have 20 minutes, 30 minutes of time to bring some spiritual emphasis a night to where you guys are at. To share the gospel, to share, in other words, to have a spiritual emphasis onto your football camp. And they said, okay. And we said, okay. And so they came and we had chapels at night. In the afternoon, during the meal time, I shared scripture. We prayed for the meals. Guys were holding hands together. Big old tough football guys, you know. They're holding hands praying. You probably see that brother as well, right? As you do your baseball and FCA and all that type of thing. It's just, it's incredible to see how God uses that. So we had our first football camp, and guess what? We might have another addition. Another school district, another coach from another school came to us and said, what would it take to have a football camp here? And I told him. And then another person from a community on the other side of the camp, and he said, we're trying to get some guys, young kids, to get them warmed up for baseball. Can we use the activity center for baseball? I said, sure. One thing, though. I need to have devotions with them. Right? And they said, fine. Hey, when it comes to platforms and it comes to, it comes to a lot of where God is using you to reach young people, to reach people for Christ. And maybe there's some like this Ethiopian eunuch that doesn't understand who Jesus is. Never even entered into a church door before. And they're saying, what am I missing? See, God uses all that for us. So we have two ministry lives. All this to proclaim one message. And that wondrous message is in Christ. He says in verse 36, now as they went down to the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. Meaning what? Do you believe it in baptism or believe it in Jesus? The emphasis is on Christ. Do you believe in Jesus with all your heart? Do you understand that he died for you? That there's only one way to heaven? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do you realize it's only through Christ? Yeah, I believe. Then you can be baptized. Notice what he says. And he answered him, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now here's the picture I want you to understand. Notice this caravan. And I do believe it's a caravan, right? You have all the treasury. You have the person that in charge of the treasury with all his servants, with everyone that's there, right? And you have all these people. And this guy came to know the Lord, and now he's doing what? He's telling them all to stop. All to stop. Now, he's probably up on an elephant, right? Or a camel, right? So he's probably kneeling down, getting them, all that type of stuff, and they're trying to get him down from the elephant or whatever, And so he's down, and see, they gather around the pool of water. Might be a small pond, whatever, but they see water. He says, what prevents me from being baptized? Commanded all the chariots to stop. They all got down. Everyone surrounded this guy. Why? He's a high official. Just in case Philip doesn't do what he's supposed to do and bring him out of the water, right? No, he's there. And he's baptized. Everybody witnesses it. The eunuch is identifying himself with the Lord. Gave his testimony of how he came to know Christ. And what a beautiful scene that is. See, we miss out on the picture, the big picture. We see, we read it for ourselves, but just imagine the amount of people that witnessed the event. Guess what? Scripture says that if one comes to know the Lord, what do the angels do? Well, they rejoice, they celebrate like crazy in heaven, right? When one comes to know Christ as Savior, heaven rejoices. And this high official came to know the Lord, was baptized, was obedient to the baptism, identified himself with Christ. Everybody witnessed it. You never know how many were saved on that day. All it talks about is the Ethiopian eunuch. You never know what kind of impact you're making until you reach heaven. God has given you a platform. And God wants you to use that platform for His glory and His honor. You have a wonderful Savior who wants to minister to a waiting sinner because of the Spirit of God that is working in your heart because you are in service for Him. When Tammy and I are in service, we consider, again, consider our lifestyles as ministry. Do you consider your lifestyle as a ministry? If not, why? And then what needs to change? I believe that God has each of us, each one of us, has a platform in which we can share the gospel. And He wants us to be faithful in doing that each and every day. I hope you got a glimpse of what we do. I mean, it was just a small glimpse. I mean, there's so much more that we do. Whether it be through Pennsylvania State Police, whether through the Women of Word that Tammy has on Facebook. She does scripture reading through all that. Women of Worth Bible Studies. She's going to start a new job tomorrow. We're going to be moving down to the camp today. And we're going to have Thanksgiving up in Mount Jewett at our place up there. And we're going to be traveling back and forth still. But we just want to help you understand, we live two ministry lives. But it's all for the glory of God. Tammy and I are in tangent with that. Okay? We have the church ministry, we have the camp ministry, and there's a lot of stuff in between that goes on. There's a lot of stuff. And it's all God. And it's all God. A couple things. Newsletters. If you have not received the newsletter, we have some with us. We have, some of you have already got these cards, coffeehelpingmissions.com, right? Though you, whoever loves whole bean coffee or loves ground coffee, what this does, it helps support, go to the missionaries, but also helps support a church planting endeavor in Indonesia. And so it says here that 100% of the profit goes to helping the missionary you designate and biblical ministries worldwide, Indonesia Project. So if you love to drink coffee, right, this is a place to go in order to help missions, right, with that. So it's Coffee Helping Missions. And if you have, if anyone wants a card, I have more up here. And if anybody wants to know about more biblical ministries worldwide, I do have a pamphlet here. Thank you so much for supporting financially, prayer support. Pray for us and pray for our children, wherever they may be. You know, they're enjoying life, but also having their jobs. Just to share a little bit, Robert works at Abraxas. He's our oldest. Abraxas is a place for juvenile delinquents. And it's the drugs, fire starters, it's the, you know, whoever you can think of, they're there. Highly volatile area. And he's one of the top, that's promoted him, quote unquote, to overseeing the teachers and the curriculum of that school. It's not government based, it's a private business. And there's a place down in Chambersburg where he's at, and there's a place up in Marionville that does the same thing, but that's a highly volatile area. So pray for him. Mitchell is a personal trainer for Power Train outside of Harrisburg. He's an assistant director as well as a personal trainer. Lauren, our third son, he is a managerial trainee for Northwest Bank, graduate from Westminster College. And then Olivia is in Ireland to do overseas studies for international finance for her senior year. For this semester, she'll be back on the 23rd, and she'll be graduating in May. So it's a busy time, yeah, but we praise God for how He's working in the lives of our children. So, am I missing anything, Tammy? Are we good? Okay. Father, thanking You for today. Thanking You for the time that we have to be together. Thank You for Jesus, our Savior. Thank You for the redemptive work in our hearts and lives because of Jesus that makes it all possible for us to minister in such a way to see others come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We just thank You, Lord, for the many opportunities You give us Thank you for the ministry of your word and for the Holy Spirit that guides and directs us. I pray, Lord, that as we come to a close of our service today, Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus today. And may we be encouraged by what you have for us. We just thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, that how it ministers to each other in such a powerful way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.